Talk a little NBA. Mike Prada joins us from SB Nation. Mike, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing well. In a better mood, too, because of that pumper music you guys played. It gets me pumped up.
Hey, that's DJ Majot, man. No one spins better tunes than he does, for sure. no one spinning better tunes right now on the floor, anyway, than the Memphis Grizzlies, who are 10-1, coming off a dominant victory over Houston. And now they face the red-hot Raptors in the East, 8-2. This Grizzly team, I know, is good, but are they this good?
Yeah, I think they are this good. I mean, it depends what you think. Do I think they're going to finish as the best team in the West when it's all said and done? No, probably not. I think San Antonio will pick it up. I think Golden State has been slightly more impressive, although they certainly, the Grizzlies made a big statement yesterday. Can they be a top four seed and a title contender? Yeah, absolutely. They have the continuity. You know, last year, if you remember, when they had Marc Gasol back in the lineup after their early struggles, they were one of the best teams in the league. You know, they had to finish at, I want to say they were like 20 games over 500 after he got back and made the playoffs of the seventh seed and were this close. You know, Zach Randolph doesn't get suspended. They could beat the Thunder in the first round. You know, so they were really good last year. And I think they only got better when you consider they added Vince Carter. They kind of tapered Tayshaun Prince's minutes off. He's not playing as much anymore. They're playing more shooting on the floor. Courtney Lee has been really good. They got him for a full year. You know, when you consider that, they're a better team than they were last year. And I think early in the year, some of the continuity of what they know what they're doing now. They kind of know their style. They know that they can still generate some offense, even with while playing the same defense they can. You know, the top players have a lot of familiarity. That really pays off early in the season. So, yeah, I could absolutely see them as a top four seed. I could definitely see them in the conference finals. You know, so if you consider that to be like, you know, for real, I think that that is for real.
Right now, you know, they don't have anybody who's close to like a real go-to leading scorer as far as a guy who's going to put even 20 points a night. Is that a good thing for that team? Or when you look at basketball and the success of the game, usually you need, you know, two or three guys who you know are go-to guys. You know, Gasol and Zach are obviously maybe their two best offensive guys, but do you think they're good enough to carry a team come playoff time against the other top dogs?
You know, that's kind of a thing that people talk about when they think of, you know, basketball the way it was played 10, 15 years ago, when you couldn't zone, when you was a one-on-one game, zone defense wasn't allowed. You know, but the way the rules are today, you know, I think that they kind of, there's certainly any guys who are top offensive threats. You know, there's no question. But I think this idea of, like, you need to put the ball in one guy's hands in tight situations and let him go to work is a little outdated when you consider how teams can now help off guys, how teams can kind of zone up. You know, the way that defense is played, it's almost, I think it's more important to have a combination of shooting and good kind of passing and ball movement in tight spots, you know, more so than having that one or two guys that really can kind of get a bucket for yourself when it matters. You know, in the past, Memphis, you know, especially in the conference finals a couple years ago, they just didn't have the shooting. It was too easy for teams to help off guys who weren't shooters and clog the lane against Zach Randolph and Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. And they were basically kind of playing 3-on-5 or 4-on-5 at every time. This year, I think they have the shooting to kind of make it so that you have to play them 5-on-5. And I think with the combination of Marc Gasol's passing ability, you know, Mike Conley is very tricky in clutch situations, and Zach Randolph can still get it done. I don't think that's as big a concern for them. You know, the question is, you know, whether they can kind of keep enough shooting on the floor and keep their defense great, and whether they're just, are they as good as some other stacked teams in the West? You know, they have all the ingredients, but like so do four or five other teams. So that's really the only thing that stops them, I think.
Mike Prada from SB Nation joins us talking some NBA. Sticking in the West, Mike, the LA Clippers had an interesting offseason off the court. This season, they're off to a 5-4 start. Are you surprised with the underwhelming start by the Clippers?
I am a little surprised. You know, I had them as, I thought they might run away this regular season with a lot of wins. I liked the Spencer Hawes addition. I thought they replaced Darren Collison with Jordan Farmer, and that was smart. But yeah, I'm a little surprised by how slowly they started. You know, I had questions about them in the playoffs with, you know, again, we talk about shooting and defense. You know, their three position was pretty weak. I thought that could get exposed in the playoffs. I think now you're seeing that that's getting exposed in the regular season. They, you know, Matt Barnes can't hit the broadside of the barn, and his defense is only average. And so now they're starting Jamal Crawford and J.J. Redick, and that's a terrible defensive three along the wings with those two and Chris Paul. You know, when they go up against great wing players like James Harden, like eventually Kevin Durant, you know, like some of the Spurs guys, you know, they don't have anyone that can match up with those players. And that's a big problem. And I think you're seeing that a little bit. Teams are cheating off Matt Barnes, like we talked about with Memphis. You know, shooting is really important. Teams are cheating off Matt Barnes to help on Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan. And I think that's forcing especially Griffin to shoot a lot of jumpers. So, you know, they need to find a wing that can play, and they need to do that quick. You know, maybe it's giving Reggie Bullock more of a chance, or maybe it's somehow making a trade. But I think with the roster they have, they're really in trouble in the stacked West.
Mike, let's take a look now out east. The New York Knicks have a new coach in Derek Fisher, who was playing last year, a new prez in Phil Jackson. They've struggled to understand the triangle offense in Derek Fisher. They're just 3-8. What's the biggest problem with the New York Knicks?
Well, the triangle is not something that gets picked up like, you know, you snap your fingers and you get it. I mean, like, even the biggest triangle advocates, and we wrote a story about this, you know, to start the year on SBNation.com, it takes a year to pick it all up. You know, right now they're playing, I think, a little robotically, which is to be expected. They're kind of, they know what they're supposed to do with all the different reads, but they just don't have enough practice, you know, executing them. And so I think that's a big reason why they're struggling. They're taking a lot of mid-range jumpers. They're not really getting to the bucket. And they just don't have the defensive parts to be a good team. You know, this is just a work in progress. I think patience is required if the triangle is going to work. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if the patience, they'll have some patience. But I think the people that expected them to be a good team right away, I think we're probably expecting a little too much.
I want to talk about the L.A. Lakers. They're 1-9. Most people expected them not to be very good. But, man, Kobe Bryant shooting from everywhere, not shooting very well at this point. Are they destined? Like, could the Lakers finish with the worst record in the NBA? Or as well, I guess Philadelphia, so that's obviously pretty easy. But are they that bad that they'll be the worst team in the West?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Really?
No, the West is pretty stacked. Even at the bottom, you got teams like Utah, who looks very promising, you know, with their young talent. You have teams like Sacramento is playing really well right now. Now, they might be easy to get playoff team. You know, even someone like Minnesota, struggling a lot recently, but they still have some nice young talent with Andrew Wiggins, with Rubio once he comes back, you know, with Anthony Bennett, with Zach LaVine. A lot of the guys they have, you know, they're not better than the Timberwolves the Lakers are. I mean, the Nuggets are playing really poorly right now, but that's also a team with some guys that can play, and I think they'll have a few games where they play pretty well and they kind of get out of the cellar. You know, I think it's probably a lot that the Lakers are the worst team in the Western Conference. You know, if not for Philadelphia, I think they would be the worst team in the league. You know, I don't think there's really a question about that. I saw somewhere that, you know, through the number of games that each team has played, they have the two worst point differentials of those two teams of all time. So I think it gives you an idea about how bad even the Lakers are.
Speaking up north, as we're joined by Mike Prada from SB Nation, the Toronto Raptors have got a lot of respect from a lot of people down south. ESPN said their backcourt is one of the top five backcourts in the league with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Do you agree with that? And what do you thought of the start the Raptors have got off to?
They're up there. It's tough. There are a lot of good backcourts in the league, but I think Toronto is up there. I really like the way Kyle Lowry has played. I think DeMar DeRozan's struggling a little bit with the shot, but I like that he's getting to the free throw line. You know, I wrote about the Raptors maybe a week ago. I think there's a lot to like. I think there's also a lot of reasons to be concerned. I don't think, despite their numbers, I don't think the defense is really exhibiting a shot profile that I'm so comfortable with. I think they're allowing too many threes and layups. I think teams are starting to figure out their traps a little bit. I think their offense, DeRozan's struggling. Terrence Ross is struggling. They've got a lot of depth, but they have to kind of kick that into gear. But if you look at the big picture, this is a team that if you go 1-5, they have a physical advantage at most positions, especially in the backcourt. You look at Lowry, he gets his nose in there. He's bigger and stronger than most guys guarding him. DeRozan's certainly bigger and stronger. You know, even when they go small, near Johnson and Patterson, and, you know, that's a physical, tough front court. And they win that way. And I think they're going to win a lot of regular season games that way. you know, at the same time, I think the Chicago game the other week really showed that they're probably still a cup below the elite in the East.
Elite in the East. It's funny because I don't know if that ultimately will matter. You know, it's yeah, funny, basketball and hockey.
There's only one elite in the East.
Yeah, like basketball and hockey have really dominated. I know Miami made it to the finals, but they didn't win all the time, and now Miami's split up. Cleveland, after a little bit of a slow start that a lot of people thought might happen, you know, they're back to over 500 and will climb. But do you see, you know, outside of Cleveland, are any of those Eastern teams really good enough to match up against the top four or five in the West?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. There's some interesting teams in there. My hometown Wizards have a really good record. I think they've survived Bradley Beal's injury very nicely. You know, I think they'll be a pretty good team. I think Charlotte has been really inconsistent, but you can see the upside there when they play at their best. You know, I think Miami has looked pretty good. You know, Atlanta will look a little better. A couple other teams have looked decent, but no, I don't think, you know, forget the top four or five. I'm not sure anybody other than Chicago and Cleveland, once they get together in the East, can compete with, you know, borderline playoff teams like New Orleans or, you know, Oklahoma City when they get healthy. You know, there's just such a crazy, you know, gap in the two conferences.
And quickly, what do you think of Anthony Davis right now? You know, I've been reading so many articles, like, you know, people think this guy now, you know, he's going to emerge as the player that people expected when he was drafted. How good can he be?
He might be, you know, he's going to be one of the best players in the league. He already is. He might, I think, if you polled a lot of the GMs around the league and if you asked them who they would take, I think there was a poll to this effect at some point. I bet you a lot of them would take Anthony Davis over LeBron or Kevin Durant. I think that gives you an idea of his upside and potential. You know, what's scary is that it gives you glimpses of these plays that players just shouldn't be able to make. I don't know if you saw, he blocked LaMarcus Aldridge's fadeaway. It was going to be a fadeaway, like he was stepping back to shoot. You know, he has a high release.
Mm-hmm.
Blocked that shot. It squealed to another Blazers player, immediately blocked that shot, you know, literally in the span of 2 seconds. Like, that's a play nobody should be able to make. And he makes those plays on a nightly basis. It's almost ho-hum. Here goes Anthony Davis again. You know, and what's especially scary is he's 21 now, so he's got so much time left. He's maybe scratched 75% of the player he could be. He's still kind of green defending the pick and roll. He still has some post moves to develop. He's still a little skinny. But he's this good already, and he's only 21. This, you know, we say like his ceiling is limitless for about 700 players in the NBA every year. In Anthony Davis's case, his ceiling is unlimited. Like he could be the best player in the league next year.
Wow, better than LeBron.
Or 2 years from now. I mean, just wait until he has a corner three in a post game and gets more experience guarding the pick and roll. I mean, it's really game over once you figure that stuff out.
Well, New Orleans, they've had some struggles, but I'm guessing their fans will be pretty pumped as this guy continues to emerge. I appreciate your time. Thanks very much, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having me.